Hey girl bosses, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag Girl Boss. This is your host Zoya.
And this is your host Lilana. So Zoya, you ready for school tomorrow?
I don't know. I'm super excited to see everyone and just be at school. Like physically just being present at school. It's such a vibe. I don't know.
It's different.
It hits different. Like online, I just didn't get that feel because I mean, when I woke up, I didn't really put much work into, like, being awake, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
rest of the day would just feel lazy. I don't know. I'm excited to go to school. I'm nervous, though. Super nervous. Because
I'm gonna try
overall.
I'm going to try to get there early. I wonder if someone ever took our spot in the library where we would all sit in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. I remember that. Okay, well, the problem with me is I'm not going to be able to go there because I have a CTE class in the morning. So I'm going to have to go there.
Yeah, so, Harshini has the, she has a CT center first period too. So I'm like, bummer. But so does Lalima. Lalima has late arrival and she has CTE second and third period 8A. So she's at Liberty only for one period. So like she's not even getting exposed to school.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Only for like a period a day. That's awesome. Yeah.
Me and Lalima both are 8As. In case you guys don't know, Lalima's my twin. Both are like 8As. They're literally all electives. Like literally we only have like hard classes or B-Day. So
nice. Yeah. I think mine's pretty well split. But yeah, we'll see when school gets there. Because right now I haven't even fully looked at my schedule, I'm going to be honest.
I just like mainly looked at my first periods and I'm like, okay, I know where to go the first time. I'll survive.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm just gonna write down like on the notes app or something, my teachers, my classes, and where it is, like the room number, just because I'm bound to forget. And I hate like looking at it up on the schedule because you have to zoom in super tiny.
Yeah, so. I feel it because I'm like familiar. We're familiar with like where the math parts are, where the history parts are. So it's like, I don't think it's gonna be difficult, but like everyone's so excited about getting back. I don't know.
I feel like even if we're late to a class, I don't think the teacher would care that much. Just because I mean we're back after so long.
I just like I was talking to some people yesterday and like one person, she went to school last year and she was like, they didn't really have like advisories. Like you were just sitting in the classroom that you were in. So I'm hoping we have advisory because that's the funnest part of school.
I think we do because I remember when we went to flight school where they just went over everything for the freshmen. There was like a presentation or like a video or something. And on there, they did have advisory like separately. And I think it said that you could like do anything you want and go anywhere. It didn't say anything about staying in your room. So hopefully we have advisory as normal. Because I love advisory.
I like advisory too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know how they added 10 minutes to school? Where do those 10 minutes go? Like into classes?
I think they just added to the end of fourth period. Or did they make advisory longer? It's something like that.
Okay. Yeah, because it's unfair to add it to just one class. I don't know. Yeah, they didn't have to add 10 minutes. Yeah. It's just...
They should have just added 2 minutes to each class, literally.
Yeah. That would have been much better.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into the content of this episode. So, last time we talked more about the types of investing and, like, different things you can invest in. So, today we're going to take a step ahead of all of that and move on from investing and talk about just personal finance tips in general. But before that, we have some very shocking stats, which I cannot believe exist in our world today. So the first one shocks me a lot. 27% of young people in a sample study possess knowledge of basic financial concepts, including inflation and risk diversification, and could only do simple interest rate calculations. And that's only 27%. Whereas almost every adult has a job, is making money, and should be in the position to take care of their finances.
But only 27%. That means like what? Like 73% of people don't know like simple interest calculations for their money. Like,
The majority of people don't. And even that majority is like huge.
Yeah.
Like 3/4 of adults who make money. I'm sorry. It just shocks me a lot that
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like, you know, like younger like school institutions like high school, I feel like one reason a lot of people don't know is because they're not taught early on that like you need to know your financial stuff. And so like once they get into college, they're like just pushed into the world of finance. So they're like already worried about debt that they don't have time to learn about it. So I just think it needs to be pushed more. That's my opinion. But
No, I
yeah.
agree, especially at school. I think there should be like a required class or course where they teach you at least basic finance tips, because I know we have financial literacy, but they teach us about the most unnecessary concepts in financial literacy.
I
I
took
mean,
a oh sorry.
yeah, go ahead. It's
I
fine.
took a course called Dollars and Cents in the district I live in, and it was just a one semester course, and it teaches you everything. Like it was very
Really?
helpful. Yeah.
They should make that required then, because I didn't even think to take it. I
'Cause
know some
dollars and
math classes
cents,
have financial literacy though.
when you hear the name dollars and cents, it seems like a blow off class. Like I was like,
It does.
I don't think I'm gonna learn anything, but it was like finance related, so I took it and I actually learned stuff, like even though like it ended up becoming virtual, like she made sure we, you know, learned all the basics. So I thought it was very helpful.
I should have taken it this year. But yeah, I
Yeah.
guess I'll have to do all that learning on my own before I become an adult. Because it's super important. I mean, educate yourself. I know there's a bunch of like TikToks these days. I know all of us are on like TikTok. So it's like an easy way to learn stuff from there. And it's just, I don't know, more
Yeah.
beneficial to learn from like videos, YouTube. I don't
Yeah, and because as Zoya mentioned, because like, you know, a lot of young people don't know like, you know, their simple math calculations or like how to like budget their money, then they tend up it tends to like, you know, serve as an obstacle and they don't end up saving that money because they're not sure how to. And it actually was showed in a study that 40% of grown adults, they actually don't have a saving accounts that they, you know, contribute to regularly. And it's actually recommended that you put in, you know, money pretty frequently into that account. And again, I feel like it's such a big shocking number that 40%, that's like almost half of adults,
I
almost
know.
like they don't use like savings account, which is, you know, I guess very shocking because where's your money going that you're earning? What's the point of earning it if you're not going to save it to, you know, use it later, right? Even if you're going on a trip, you got to save the money. Even if you're impulsively buying something, you got to have saved money to do it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, savings account are like really, really useful. I don't know, it feels like, yeah, once you make the money, you're just gonna blow it off, but you need to save up that money for, I don't know, buying a house, buying a car, going on a trip, like you mentioned, or just for your future. I mean, I don't know. It amazes me how uneducated people are about finance and just personal finance. And I hope that our generation, as we grow up, doesn't become like that too and starts to improve from now on.
Definitely, yeah. Like I feel like it's so hard to blame adults now because I was like they never even got the exposure. Like I feel like our generation has the opportunity. They didn't. So the ones that are good with finance, they had to learn it on their own. So kudos to them. But you know, as the stats we mentioned before, you know, a lot of people didn't even get the basics, how to maintain their money mathematically or theoretically. So that went into the issue as they grew older, is they didn't even know how to budget or save it. And I feel like that's why the numbers are so big. So if there's like personal finance education early on, which means what we are trying to do through the podcast, like hopefully it helps just bring awareness that hey, finance is important. Learn about it. Learn about it.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, moving on, as we're talking about savings, another shocking stat is that 55% of young adults report that they're not saving in either an individual retirement account, usually known as an IRA, or a 401k account, which is basically saving for your future. And guys, you need to save for your future. Like when you retire, you need that money. I mean, you're not going to be still making money when you retire. So it's, oh my gosh, save. Like save, 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 because you don't know how important it is to save for your future. And I hope I can do that from like the time I earn money.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with Zoya. Like 401ks and retirement plans are really important because at that age, you're not having any income. You might have some passive income. You know, it just depends on the level. But we're talking about for the general, I guess, American, or just general individual. Like you need to start saving for IRA or 401k because you're not going to have anything to support you because you know all your kids aren't going to be supporting you after you retire. I mean, that's you know.
They could, but it would be embarrassing too. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, but yeah. Not embarrassing. It's just it's better to have your own money just because your children need their own money too.
Yeah, at that there's age. Nothing wrong with wanting to take care of your parents, but yeah. Just in case, you know, you want to build that foundation. Mm-hmm. And I actually know a lot of companies, like my dad's, they like provide some like 401k retirement and all those benefits. Right. So like when looking for a job, it's not just salary, but you know, looking at these type of benefits is I think very important. And also like if you're someone who's well off and making money, you can start saving early on for your 401k. You can actually even start your own kids, like future kids accounts too. Mm-hmm. And you can start saving early. So, you know, as me and Zoya mentioned, the stats of 27% of people not knowing basic financial concepts, 40% not having a savings account, and 55% not making an IRA. That's like all from that, like all stems from that issue of people just not knowing much about personal finance. So like if you have a head start about it, make sure you're educating your children about it and you're starting early for them as well. I think that's like a really good tip in general.
Yeah, and speaking of tips, we actually have a list of tips that we want to share. For just personal finance in general, they don't go into that much detail, but it's shocking how many people still don't know how to follow these. And yeah, so let's get started. So tip number one is
Sorry. Right before she gets on tip, we're actually making a pamphlet that has all the content that we talk about in an episode. So just watch out for that. We'll probably release an electronic version sometime. But yeah, just watch out. Okay, now you can go into it.
little spoiler in the middle there. Yes, let's move on. So yeah, tip number one is creating a monthly and annual budget for your expenses. And this basically means, I don't know, get a Google Sheet, Excel, or just a notebook and create, or like one of those budget apps or websites, and create a monthly and annual budget. I don't know, for adults that could be rent, payments, I don't know, paying off your credit card balances or your loans and just buying groceries in general. Creating a budget for that, for monthly and annually, will help you know how much you're going to spend, how much of your salary you're going to spend on expenses, and then how much you're saving on top of that to put onto your savings account or maybe whatever's left over you want to invest it. That helps you outline where your money's going and expect, you can expect where your money to go, where your money goes. So it's just really helpful to create a budget. I know I don't yet, but hopefully when I make money, I do.
Yeah, so. I definitely agree with Zoya, because when you have a budget, you have a plan. And she mentioned, you know, when you have a budget, you can see your expenses. But because you're able to see your expenses, you also are able to see what's left over in your salary early on. And because you know what's, you know, you're saving early on, that actually helps you save a certain amount every week into a savings account, which is our second tip. So like as Zoya, like as we mentioned before, you know, a lot of people don't actually save regularly into a savings account. And I think that actually stems from the tip Zoya mentioned, is because people don't have a budget, where you actually should be having a budget. I know it's like a trivial thing, like creating like a notepad list of like, okay, water is $20, I need it every 2 weeks. I know it seems very like childish to some people to do that, but you know, having that plan means that you're gonna have money to save because you're not impulsively buying. Because I see with my family, if we don't go to a store with what we want in mind, we literally buy the half the
everything
store.
I know.
And like when we get our monthly bills, we're like, uh-oh, we did not save much.
Yeah.
So but when we go with a budget, we're like, we need water, milk, and bananas. It's like we get it and we're like, out, maybe we'll grab one or two things, you know. Yeah. But like the money is like saved every week, and so that with that we're able to put more money into the savings account and like build up a foundation.
Exactly. And creating a budget, obviously, I think Lalana mentioned, it can be time consuming, But if you do it just once, I think you're kind of set. You're going to add on a few things maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just sitting down and doing it once wouldn't hurt. And that's like a kind of like a lifetime thing. There's really less changes that happen in terms of what you're buying on a regular basis. But yeah, and once you know what you're going to be buying by creating a budget, consider making most of your purchases of part of that budget with either cash or a debit card. I know we talked about this in an entire episode once, because it's really important to avoid using a credit card so you don't get into debt. And I think having a budget is really helpful for that, because once you know where, or once you expect where your money's going to go, you can use your cash and debit card for it, because you know you're making that much and you know your money is going to go there. And you can set aside your credit card for big expenses or unexpected expenses that you didn't foresee in your budget. Mm-hmm. And that'll obviously help avoid debt and paying off any credit card balances. And I don't know, it's just helpful. I see how all of these are stemming from the first tip. I mean,
yeah, they definitely
it's funny,
are.
But that's like kind of the most important one. And all of these are, I mean, it's really important to not overuse your credit card.
Yeah.
As we talked about, go check out that episode. I think it was 3 episodes ago, but yes, yeah, go check
and
it
out.
And
as Zoya mentioned, everything does stem from the first one, because if you don't have a budget, you're not saving money. If you don't save money, you don't have enough money to buy things and pay off things with debit and credit cards or cash. And that's where you start getting in trouble, right? Yeah. And so for that reason, you need to start creating aims and financial goals, which is actually our next tip, is to set financial goals and aims to reach them. So let's say I get $100 a month. I make a budget of using $50. Okay, so I saved $50. That was my aim for the month. I wanted to save $50, so I made my budget to be $50. So because I set that goal, I'm going to have like a lifetime habit, because, you know, the quote, like, once you start something, you're going to do it. It becomes a habit. You know, just doing that and setting financial goals every month and slowly increasing them will help you create financial independence and financial growth. And so I think, you know, that tip seems very basic. Like, oh, okay, of course you need to set goals in life. Like, duh. But I feel like no one really sees the value behind it. And I think that's why we told you guys the other 3 steps, like tips before, because now you would probably see the importance of setting those goals. Because if you don't set those goals, you're not saving money, you're not making budgets, you're going to have debt from your credit cards.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah,
and
definitely.
So setting those financial goals and aims is going to be very productive with your financial life and your financial career. You know, I know that Zoya mentioned before, you know, credit and debit card, you know, sometimes it's better to use debit card or a credit card. But if you set these financial goals, that can show that you're pretty responsible. And so that means you can use a credit card more often, because you know you can pay it off. You know you're not in risk of debt. And because if you have that extra leverage, then you're starting to build credit history, which is good for your future. You'll get better jobs. You'll get better loans for houses, schools, your children, and things like that. And so if you're setting these financial goals and you're being responsible, then you get the privilege of using a credit card properly and building better credit history. And so this is probably one of the biggest tips. You know, set your financial goals, plans, and aims, because by how you do that, you'll know how to align your budget, your savings, and your, you know, extraneous costs and, like, uses.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, yeah, and one big goal I think that people should really put their aim into is investing. And we have a whole episode on investing, too. So go check that out. Well, technically, it's like a 2-part series, but yeah, go check out our other episodes in the series. And yeah, investing is so important. A lot of people think that it's kind of like an optional thing, which it is in some way, but it's really not. For the amount that it benefits you if you invest, I feel like it really shouldn't be an optional thing. Like, people should be investing regularly because of how beneficial it is to people's financial future in general. But yeah, investing in stocks especially, I think that's the most common one. That's the one we have a whole episode on. And then we have another episode on types of investing, other things you can invest in. But yeah, investing in stocks is basically investing in partial ownership of a company. And basically, if the company does better and you have a stock of that company, you're going to be making more off of the money you invested. But if the company does, the company doesn't do so well, you're going to be losing some of the money you invested. So it is a risky kind of financial goal, but it's super beneficial if you know how to responsibly invest.
Yeah, I definitely agree because, you know, once you start investing, as Zoya mentioned, it's like not like mandatory, but it's like not optional, but it's like gives you a really, really good leverage because you're able to put that money in a place where you're like, okay, I can't really withdraw it right now because, you know, I might need to do this, might need to do that. So you're kind of like, you feel obligated to leave that money there and let it grow, like just become a passive income. So it just helps you on the side. So I think investing is definitely a very, you know, a smart decision for those who do have enough money to be able to do it. And especially starting early, whether if that's asking your parents to give you like $10 or $20 just to start off, you know, anything like that, you know, just thinking about your future by investing early is important. And I would say investing is a very smart decision about how you spend your money. And that goes to our next tip. I'm getting like weary. My thoughts are all over the place. But
I know. Okay. I don't know why. Me too.
But the next tip is make smart decisions about how you spend your money. For example, you go to a store. You see like $200 shoes. And then you see like another pair that's like $50. You like them both. But you're like, the $200 more in trend. But do you really need it? No, you don't.
Yeah.
The $50 shoes work fine. Like, especially as someone, like, the reason I'm saying this because this was literally me like a few days ago. But it's like when you have like, so like I have a decent amount of shoes. So it's like, I don't really need shoes that are that expensive. Like for me, that's not something I need. It's not even going to like fit my style. I just kind of liked how it looks. So it's like, I don't really need it. It's more of a want. Like any shoes is a want because I already have shoes, right? But it's like making the smart decisions about how you spend your money. You need to do research. Is it a good product? Is it going to go out of trend if it's clothing? Because I know some people overspend on like one piece of item that's, and then like they're very trend followers. So it's like, it's going to be gone. So don't spend $200 on a pair of pants. You know, like just being smart and wise about how you spend your money is like going to be very, very important, because if you're not smart about it, you can overspend. And that means you're not going to have enough money to follow your budget. You're not going to have enough money to save. And then you're going to be using your credit card, and then you're going to have stuff to pay off, but you're not going to have anything in your savings account, and it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
And if you followed along with what I just said, great job. But it's always a smart decision on how you spend your money. Like that just, if there's like literally no other way I can explain it. That's like the simplest way I can put it. Like, do not be stupid, please, about how you spend your money. And I think it goes back to our previous tip. Investing is a very smart decision on how you spend your money, as long as you know your risks and boundaries. Do not put more than what you can afford to risk. Like, I learned this. I know this is so not related, but I learned this from my driving class. But my teacher is always like, when I break a rule, like when I go over a speed limit, he's like, I question myself. Will I be able to live with the risk? And he's like, the risk is a ticket. I'll be able to live with that. So he's like, I'll take the risk. Same thing with here. If I buy like $200 shoes, will I have enough money for everything else? Yes. Okay, so some people might be fine with the risk, some people might not. But let's say you're driving on an icy road and you're like, oh, I feel like racing on a road that's very icy. The risk is you could die. And then he's like, is that worth it? No. So he doesn't do it. You know, that's the same thing with money again. Can I spend $1 million on a house when I only have $2 in my savings account? No. You know, so asking yourself these rhetorical questions when you spend money, or like for granted any life decision, it helps you see like what are the possible outcomes, and you're like, and you think of the worst possible outcome, you're like, will I ever be okay with that? And if you're not going to, then don't do it. That's smart. I know sometimes we're impulsive, that's human nature. Like, come on, life is spontaneous. Sometimes you're gonna make those choices. No shade, no hate. Me and Zoya do it all the time. I mean, not all the time.
Yeah, of course. But, like, everyone's bound to.
Yeah. But, like, just trying to be smart whenever you can with your money or any decision, I think is a very, like, you know, big thing that'll be good for you to be successful.
Yeah, and, like, I love the example you gave and how you brought up, like, your driving teacher's sayings. But, yeah, the $200 shoes thing, it's literally so relatable, because a lot of times I'm at the store and I'm like, should I buy it? Should I not? Should I not? And honestly, for me, I don't think it's worth it to buy $200 shoes. But, I mean, if you do want to really get those, I feel like what I would do is, I don't know, like, let's say, I don't know, we're back to school shopping and my budget for everything, like clothes, supplies, everything was I don't know, the same as the shoes, $200. I would, if I were to buy the shoes, I wouldn't be able to spend my budget for back to school on anything else. That's exactly what I would do. But if I really want to get other things like school supplies, other clothes, I would maybe buy the $50 shoes and then spend my money, spend the rest of my money on the other things I need. And I think that that's also what smart decisions are all about. Like, thinking of what you need to get and then spending the budget you have wisely on what you need and what you want.
Yeah.
Which is basically what you mentioned. And yeah,
like,
so
moving, oh, sorry.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Like, my mom, when we go shopping, she sets a budget. She's like, not over this, you know? And so, like, mm-hmm. I know what I can buy. I know you guys are probably like, they're so entitled thinking about buying $200 shoes. I promise. I don't, $200 was just like a random number. I do not spend that much on my shoes, guys.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was just an example. But yeah, so moving on to the next one. This is also really important, which is allocating at least 20% of your income for financial priorities, which include loans, paying off debt, retirement savings, and then 30% of your income towards lifestyle spending, which are your basic groceries, necessities, shopping, you know, home shopping, clothes shopping, stuff like that. So if you realize the 20% and 30% mm-hmm. add up to only 50% of your income, and if you calculate that with like monthly income, and yeah, so you're putting 20% of your monthly income into financial priorities and 30% of your monthly income towards lifestyle spending in that month. That way you only have 50% left, which is still half of it. But the reason that's left over is so that you save it until the end of the month.
Exactly.
You never know if you'll have unnecessary things to pay off of. I know people have insurance, but still, what if your insurance doesn't cover that? And you never know what will come up in life, and you should save that money just to pay off unnecessary things. Or maybe you need to buy something all of a sudden. You need to pay to get something fixed. And then after all of those, even if you have nothing to pay off of, that 50% is left at the end of the month so you can save it, so you can invest it. It's not to be blown off on for like random things that you see at the store. And that's what 30% of your income's for. You can spend it on anything you need and you want. Mm-hmm. But it's important to leave the rest of that 50% for unexpected circumstances and at the end to save for the future, which a lot of people, as we said in our stats, don't do and need exactly. to for their futures.
Yeah, and as you guys see, like, that's a big amount. 50% of your salary, like, being saved a year, that is humongous. Like, I'm just gonna like take a number, like, just out of random. Let's say you're getting 100k, like, as your like final, like, after taxes and everything. Mm-hmm. 30% for yourself is 30k. 20% is 20k for your loans and debts. That's a lot of money. Like,
mm-hmm.
that means you're saving 50,000 a year. In 2 years, you're making your whole income in your savings account. And that 100k, because people don't save, takes some people almost their whole lifetime to save.
Right.
It takes like 30 plus years for a lot of people to save. But if you're following this, if usually when people first start their job, they don't really have a family. I'm taking a stereotypical student, guys, like just out of college. The first 2 years, if they do this, they're making 100K as a single person. No mm-hmm. family, nothing. That is, like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Like, you could put a down payment on a house with that money just mm-hmm. 2 years out of college. You know? So it's just being very responsible with your money is very important. And I hope you guys see, like, how we put it into proportion with real life, like why these tips are so simple, but they make the biggest difference. And I feel like a lot of times when people think of financial literacy, they're like, oh my God, this percentage, that percentage. But no, it starts with just core habits, I think, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. Yeah. It's mainly being responsible about your money and where it's going. And being aware of where it's going, that's mm-hmm. the important part. Not just spending it and putting it into rent and loans and all that you need to do for life. I think it's important to know where your money's going, have it expected, like budgeted, and save. Yeah. That's what's important.
Dude, watch me and Zoya, like 10 years from now, be budget buddies. I'm going to start crying about that.
If that happens, though.
Bro.
Wow. I don't know where we'll be 10 years later, but
yeah. Well, I'll just imagine still doing the podcast 10 years ago. Honestly, that doesn't sound that bad. I hope
so. I hope we do. I really don't hope we stop. This is fun. Like,
it's fun. Like, even if we don't have, like, millions of people listening to us, like, it's fun. Like, just making, like, a set, like, 2 hours a week or, like, 1 hour a week sometimes, like, just to do this. It's fun.
Yeah. Super fun. And I hope we can continue this for as long as we can. Have more listeners. Yeah, followers on Instagram, guys.
Yes. And listen to the full episodes all the way to the end.
The ends are usually funny for us. I don't know why. We just get our humor at the end or, like, funny stories.
Yeah, we just become wise old grandmas.
Yep, that's, like, our tagline at this point. Yeah.
Dude, so yeah, we're like, this episode's gonna be short, and it's, like, hitting 30 minutes.
I know. Every time we record, we expect it to be a little bit shorter. But I don't know, I guess our commentary just fills in and we get like a long episode or maybe an average episode. How long is an average episode?
I don't know actually, because I feel like, okay, maybe it's just me. Like, I listen to, like, if I listen to podcasts, like, I listen to ones like around 20-ish minutes. Mm-hmm. That's because I don't have patience, I feel like, to listen to a full hour one. But I know people, mm-hmm. like, listen to long ones, like, they're, like, an hour long. Like, they just play it on their way to work and,
yeah,
like, rather than music, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says most are between 20 minutes and 30 minutes, and some get up to, like, 60 minutes, like, about an hour. Mm. So, yeah, I guess we're in a good range then.
Yeah.
All right, but I guess that's a wrap for this episode, and next week, catch us again for another episode on finance. Yeah.
Yep.
We'll see you next week then. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye, girl bosses.